do number seven, please. First American Metal, Inc. versus David Castellanos.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Douglas Grimes. I represent the appellants, First American and David Castellanos in this case. It's a civil RICO case. The district court denied appellant's motion to vacate stay after the state court granted the state court plaintiff's motion for partial summary judgment and dismissed Castellanos' third-party state RICO complaint. The motion to vacate, in our opinion, should have been granted under the circumstances of this case because based on the state court record, the appellant's state parallel RICO claim was not fairly adjudicated in the state court. We believe that several of the assumptions of Colorado River have been undermined by this case. The primary one is the assumption that the state RICO claim would be fairly adjudicated, and secondly, with regard to judicial efficiency. The partial summary judgment motion was based on count one of the state complaint that alleged a violation of the Indiana Crime Victims Relief Act. The partial summary judgment order was drafted by the plaintiffs and included the dismissal of the third-party complaint. The order also awarded damages for the alleged violation of the Indiana Crime Victims Relief Act in the sum exceeding $239,000, which included $30,000 plus in attorney fees. The third-party complaint was not addressed by the trial court in its determination to grant the partial summary judgment motion. The order granting partial summary judgment was not signed by the state judge. His signature was stamped on the order. In our view, there is no evidence that the state court judge ever saw the order granting partial summary judgment in this case. That state judge has since retired. Our position is that based upon what we call the unorthodox proceedings in the state court, that the appellant in this particular case cannot obtain a fair adjudication of the state RICO claim, which the district court has found to be parallel with the RICO claim filed in the independent federal action, which is this case.
Is the case still on appeal to the Illinois Appellate Court?
To the Indiana Appellate Court, yes.
To the Indiana Appellate Court?
Yes, it is, Judge.
All right, and you don't have any indication as to when you might get a ruling on that. And I assume this whole issue of the state court judge not, only the stamp signature was one of the big issues raised in that appellate.
Yes, we did. We discussed extensively the question of the appearance of the state court relinquishing its authority, its power to decide cases. The problem is, and the reason why we took this appeal, is because of the uncertainty about the issue of res judicata of the finding of the state court, because under Indiana law, that decision would be res judicata, and we are just uncertain as to what will happen in the state appellate court, and whether we're going to be dealing with a hybrid of the issues there. Some would be would maybe reversed, some would be affirmed, and we think that certainly there are no efficiencies there, because if it comes back, then we will ultimately be back here again, because we will go into the district court and seek to vacate, and the other side will come and seek to dismiss, and we will be right back here again. So that is why we thought it necessary to take an appeal to this court at this time.
Mr. Grimes, if this facsimile signature, are there any cases in Indiana that you know of that void orders that have facsimile signatures on?
No, Your Honor, I'm not aware of any. With regard to the issue of reasonableness under the abuse of discretion standard, I don't believe, and I have not seen any place in the federal system where a judge will allow the other side, one side or the other, to draft the order and that judge's signature is stamped to it. I've not seen it, so if we look for analogous situations, I've never seen that in the federal system. I've always seen, particularly, well, I've always seen where we're talking about a summary judgment order or determination. The judge signed the order. Here, that's not the case. And so it raises questions, and given all of the other things that have happened in the case, it raises questions in our mind as to whether or not we can get a fair adjudication of that issue in the state court.
All right, counsel.
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Robert Stoschel. I represent the appellees in this case. Actually, we come before the court simply on an abuse of discretion. Did the district court abuse its discretion by simply staying this lawsuit? You have to remember that the saga began in June of 1999 when my clients filed a state court lawsuit against Mr. Castellanos. A couple of months later, and well, next month, in July, he removed the case to federal court. In August, he filed an answer in response to the state court case, including a counterclaim under RICO. Seconds later, he filed a brand new lawsuit against the same defendants, my clients, alleging, as the district court found, exactly the same allegations, again under RICO. It is that second RICO case filed by Mr. Castellanos that we're dealing with here. The state court case went back to Judge Richards in Lake Circuit Court, Lake Superior Court. There we undertook discovery. A motion for summary judgment was filed. The parties responded to the motion for summary judgment. A hearing was heard. The court ruled from the bench, directed the plaintiff's counsel, myself, to prepare an order. It was submitted to the court. The judge signed the order and provided file stamp or, in fact, facsimile signature copies to counsel. In the state court proceedings, Mr. Castellanos' RICO case was dismissed. And that is a decision on the merits under Indiana law. I think both sides agree to that. And would be res judicata with respect to the pending lawsuit. Now, we've simply asked Judge Moody, the district court judge, to stay this parallel proceeding until such time as the Indiana state court could resolve and rule upon this identical parallel case filed by Mr. Castellanos. And that's what the court has done. We have conducted discovery. Well, actually, my clients have conducted discovery. Since June of 1999, Mr. Castellanos has not availed himself of any of the discovery rules, either in state or federal court. So we've conducted discovery. We undertook the summary judgment motion, as I indicated, and prevailed on that. Nothing has happened in the federal court, and that has been stayed since March of 2000. We see no reason why a reasonable person could not agree with Judge Moody's decision to stay the proceedings in the federal court until the state court proceedings are concluded. I am told, Your Honors, that the Indiana Court of Appeals likes to think that they can get rulings out an average of about 4.5 months. We are right there at that time frame. We could very well go back and find that that ruling has been sustained or reversed. But the point is the claims or the alleged claims of improprieties of the state court case are best decided by the Indiana Court of Appeals or the Indiana Supreme Court and not a federal court trying to decide whether or not Indiana rules were followed or not. So we believe, Your Honors, that there has not been abuse of discretion by the district court, and we ask that the order not be reversed with respect to a stay of those proceedings pending resolution of the state court case.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else to add, counsel?
There's several points. One, the answer and counterclaim was filed after the case had been removed because under Indiana rules, we had to answer the complaint. At the same time, we had to file any third-party complaint that we might have had in that action. So that is why it was filed. In addition to that, we always had some concern about whether we would get a fair adjudication in the state court, given the defendant in the third-party complaint. With regard to what the court did in terms of entering the preliminary and the partial summary judgment. The court stated, my ruling is as follows. I ask Mr. Stoschel to prepare it. Your motion to dissolve the temporary injunction is denied, and the motion for summary judgment is granted. I will ask you to prepare the order in that respect, Mr. Stoschel. That's what the court said. That was the court's ruling on the motion for summary judgment. In addition to that, after the partial summary judgment was entered, the appellees in this case moved for dismissal in the district court of this action. It argued that the state court litigation had been terminated in their favor. The court denied the motion due to the filing of an appeal in the state court action. And the other aspect of the court's order in this that's before this case is the court's wording, its language. Plaintiffs have now moved for the stay to be vacated, arguing that the portion of the state court suit parallel to the present litigation was dismissed without prejudice. Well, the state court litigation was dismissed with prejudice. Continuing, rather than being decided on the merits, without considering that issue, that is, whether dismissal with prejudice is not equivalent to a decision on the merits, the court notes only that should plaintiff's appeal in the underlying state court suit met with success, the entire controversy would be decided in state court. Our position is, what if we don't succeed? Then the doctrine of res judicata, I believe, is a strong possibility that the motion to dismiss after that by the appellees will be granted by the district court. So we're out of court, and the third-party complaint has never been heard. Either the state third-party complaint, Little RICO, or the federal RICO complaint would have never been heard. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. We will take the case under advisement.